And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you for the next many minutes as we round out our extended news at noon hour together. We are going to take a few minutes with Cranberry Township, and specifically we're going to be talking with Kelly Marsh. She's the Public Works Director there in Cranberry Township. And the reason being is I thought we could talk about roundabouts for just a moment, because I know where I live, we recently got a roundabout, and the next thing I know, it's very simple and easy to use. And I thought, how did they think of a roundabout in this area, because we are so rural? So Kelly is on the phone with me. Kelly, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And Kelly, it's interesting when we talk about roundabouts, because when I think of a roundabout, I think of a bigger city. And I know we could talk Pittsburgh, and that's fine, and, you know, that's a nice size city. But I'm talking like D.C. That's where I'm used to seeing roundabouts. Then once we talk about Butler County, we're so rural here. So I'm wondering what your perspective is on why did we start using roundabouts in the first place?
Right. So roundabouts historically have been over in Europe, and came to the United States, but we did not see them in this area till about 10 years ago. And that's really when PennDOT kind of had this innovative new technique to handle traffic, and they were really trying to promote them. In Cranberry Township, we were the first in this PennDOT district, which our district is in Indiana, PA. So it is not in Allegheny County. Butler County is in with the Indiana PennDOT District, and we had the first roundabout on a state road, and that was on Glen Eden Road at Powell and Fresh Corn, which are two township roads. So PennDOT just completed a safety study, and that intersection was included. So it's kind of bringing this to the forefront again and just revisiting, you know, what has happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I want to go through that study, if you will, and pull out some specific points, if you could share those with us. But before we do, was it common around here for people to have used a roundabout, or was it a new concept to people?
I think it was a new concept at first, and we really did a lot of education. And with PennDOT's guidance, too, they got to the point where when a traffic signal was warranted, they have a requirement. Now you need to see if a roundabout could be accommodated. And it's not a roundabout can't be used in every area. It depends on, you know, the topography, what properties there, if there's enough room for it, and if it's close to other intersections. But when they can put the roundabout in, it is beneficial for so many reasons. And it's the short term and long term. It's actually more efficient than a traffic signal in the end. And we have found that too. It can carry up to 30% more traffic than a signalized intersection. And from the safety aspect, you don't have that, whether it was a multi-way stop or a traffic signal. You have any crashes you have there are usually like T-bone crashes or head-on collisions at high speeds. And that's when you get fatalities and serious injuries. So the biggest benefit of the roundabouts is that safety, that people are traveling at slower speeds. It's almost like a traffic calming effect. And everybody kind of takes their turn, and it's easier to make decisions. Everybody's making a right-hand turn. There's no left-hand conflicts. And that's what this study found that PennDOT just did, which really reiterated that fact and made us think that this really is a good thing that we've started implementing.
Now, obviously, Cranberry has been growing for a number of years, and you're a very busy sector of Butler County. But let me ask you about other parts of Butler County. I'm familiar with the southern part of Butler County. I think it's Clinton Township or southern Butler County on 228 there. There was a roundabout put in there a handful of years ago. When does the officials decide that this is a good spot to put a roundabout? Because if you're talking 228 in southern Butler County, that's a whole different atmosphere than Cranberry Township.
Right. So normally, when it would have warranted a traffic signal, you know, say there's an accident history, or there's a lot of traffic at peak times. Normally, you don't put a signal in until there's like over 100 vehicles, you know, coming in the peak hour. But the thing with a roundabout is that it can handle peaks and off peaks. So when there's times, that there is, like, say, at a business letting out, or in Cranberry, we have one actually being built at the new Seneca Valley Elementary School. When that's going to handle the peak traffic of the buses entering and exiting, But all the other times during the day, it might have low speed traffic. So you won't have those people sitting on the side streets waiting for a green light. People can just use the intersection, whether it's high traffic or low traffic. Traffic signals are actually pretty expensive also, not only to install, but to operate. You know, there's some environmental effects. The traffic signals now can be from $300 to $600,000 to install, and then you have to pay those costs every year for the electricity and for the upkeep, and then eventually, you know, in 15 to 20 years to replace it again. Whereas the roundabout, once it's built, it's about the same cost, a little bit more to build, but it's more aesthetically pleasing, and then you don't have all those costs and the signal poles and the lights and the emissions, and you know, when those people are sitting in traffic, you know, they're creating some environmental impacts. So the roundabout is just much more environmentally friendly.
And I want to talk about the visual appeal, as you just mentioned a moment ago, with the technology aspect of that. But really, you can have a lot of fun with a roundabout, because if seasons change, you can change the look of that roundabout if it's so chosen to do so. But I think that adds an element of pride to a community, where that roundabout, if it was not there, you wouldn't be able to bring in that element.
Right. So we have, we've been putting roundabouts in Cranberry for about over a decade, and some of them are in private developments, like the Westinghouse development has roundabouts. So does Cranberry Springs. And we have them on township roads. We have them at North Boundary and Marshall Road was a township project, but we also have them in neighborhoods and in Grand Park. And, it is really, great to see that not only those developments take pride, you know, Cranberry Woods and Cranberry Springs, the roundabouts are beautiful. You know, they're landscape islands, but we have some that the Rotaries, you know, have worked with us, and they're taking over. We even have, at Grand Park, it's not streetscape, but there actually is a village, like a Seneca village in the middle of the roundabout. And then the Seneca Valley School one, they can make that. We're going to work with them to make maybe like an entrance vista to their new school and have a big SV in the roundabout. So really they are aesthetically pleasing, much more than a traffic signal.
Let's talk a little bit about the statistics that came from the PennDOT study. Of course, again, that includes Cranberry Township. And there is safety information in here. It's talking about deaths and crashes. And talk about that for us, if you don't mind. And what stats came from this PennDOT study?
Right. So this study, they did do one in 2000. This one is in 2021. And we now have a little more data because these roundabouts have been out for a while. So they looked at 26 roundabouts throughout the state of Pennsylvania. And they were looking for one specifically that have been out there for more than 3 years. So they had some traffic data beforehand and then after. So they looked at crash reports for the past 20 years, from 2000 to 2020, and they looked at those roundabouts, and specifically, it was, I think the biggest statistic is that the fatalities were reduced 100%. So these were all intersections that were safety issues before, even to the point of, you know, serious crashes, fatalities, and things like that, and reduced, and serious crashes were reduced by 81%. So that's where you're thinking about the head-on collisions, you know, the T-bones, or somebody's in an intersection and gets hit. And that's what we found at the one in Cranberry Township. It was really a high crash. The one on Glen Eden Road, only the side street stopped. It was a high speed intersection, and you were really almost like taking your life in your hands to try to cross Glen Eden. You kind of gunned it to get across, and now it's just so much safer that you can travel. You know, the roundabout speeds are generally under 25 miles an hour. Everyone can take their turn. We have not had any serious crashes at this location since that time.
So no one tries to take these turns at a high rate of speed. I'm not saying no one, but when you're talking about the reduced number of crashes or serious crashes, then it seems like most people are respecting that roundabout speed that you'd be able to get around it safely.
Right, and they're really designed that way. I mean, luckily, this is not new. You know, PennDOT and the FHWA, the federal agency, has designed guidelines to go by that have been tested on, you know, what diameter these are, how they have a truck apron to accommodate trucks. They even have these splitter islands when you go into them, and they kind of funnel you in this chute to make the right turn. Another bonus of these splitter islands is it helps pedestrians and bicycles to maneuver through the intersection, because as they're crossing the entrance road, normally you'd be looking at traffic both ways, but they have a refuge on this splitter island. The pedestrian only has to cross one way of traffic at a time. That was really a benefit for this Seneca Valley school that they were looking at too, for walkers coming to the school, that it'll be much safer than having a pedestrian crossing there.
Can you describe the roundabout in Cranberry Township? Because when I think of D.C., I think of two lanes going around. And if you're in the inner lane, you still have to go around that circle. If you're in the outer lane, you're actually exiting at whatever given point. When you're talking about southern Butler County in Clinton-Winfield area, township area, just below Knock High School there, that's only one lane of traffic that goes around. So what does Cranberry Township have?
Right. So there's all different standards. You can have multi-lane roundabouts. You can have one lane. And then we even have a couple that are called mini roundabouts. And those are, mainly in areas where it doesn't have the recessed island in the middle, this landscape island that you'll see some places. But we have all different kinds. We have a roundabout right now that's being constructed at the new MSA Thruway. The ribbon cutting for that is this week. It is set to open soon. And that is really to accommodate different movements. So when you're going to be coming off of I-79 to go under the MSA Thruway, you're first going to come to a roundabout, or you can either go north under the Thruway, or you can go south to MSA. So there'll be different legs of the intersection, and it'll funnel you, which way you are wanting to go. But it really does, you just kind of follow the flow of the traffic in the roundabout, and you can exit whichever leg that you are intending to go on.
Now, you mentioned a couple of projects that are in the works. I believe there are four new for Cranberry. Is that right?
Right. There are four being constructed right now. And then more, like I said, in the works in our long-term plan. We have some other locations where possibly we would have put a traffic signal in the future. Now we're looking at roundabouts. But yeah, the four we have currently, I mentioned the MSA Thruway. That is a township project that's being built. And they actually were paving that yesterday. It's landscaped, all ready to be open. We also have one at the new meter development. So that is the development that's on Rochester Road across from the Cranberry Township Municipal Building. And they are actually putting a roundabout in on the northern end of that development. And that will be able to access not only Main Street that's going to go through Meter, but also the property to the north. When that is developed, that can become the fourth leg of that intersection. And they're actually pouring the curb for that roundabout, and it's going to be finished this week. I mentioned the one on Ehrman Road. That is for the Ehrman Crest Elementary School, the new Seneca Valley School that's set to open next year. They actually built the roundabout this year because next year at this time, the school will be open, but next summer they'll be bringing in all the desks and furniture, and they wanted to make sure that roundabout was complete this year before that time. And then we also have another roundabout that's being started, and that's on Executive Drive at Brant Drive. So Brant Drive is being extended kind of behind the Monticello's restaurant down to Executive Drive, and we're installing a mini roundabout in that location. And they just broke ground for that in the past week.
Cranberry seems to have quite a few of them. And again, as you said, it's probably a choice that you would go forward with versus a traffic light in some areas. Have you been able to help other areas of the county, of the state, with your information, your data on the safety issues? And again, PennDOT did the study, but are you able to help other areas when they're trying to decide, do they put a roundabout in or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I know the communities near us, we have an intermunicipal agreement with both Marshall Township in Allegheny County and then Seven Fields and Adams Township in Butler County that we maintain their traffic signals on our corridors that are coordinated, the 228 corridor and the Route 19 corridor. And as Adams expands that 228 corridor, further out all the way to Route 8, we have been involved in those areas. And we work together with all the different communities as well as the communities in PennDOT District 10, on these roundabouts and what we're seeing. And even our consultants that design them for us are the same ones that are designing them in the rest of Butler County as well.
Kelly, I'm just wondering your perspective on how roundabouts are received by the public. I'm wondering, were they received as well back in the day because they were new? Have they been better received now that we're more familiar with these in our county? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, they were a new innovative technique. They were a traffic calming technique we hadn't seen in this area. So it did take a good bit of education. When our first one in the township went in on Marshall Road and North Boundary, we did a lot of public service announcements and held meetings and things like that. And there was questions with the community. But what was once considered innovative is now a common practice. So I think as people have gotten used to them, they can now see how they work. But PennDOT still does a great job. They have a wonderful video online on their PennDOT website that still shows how to maneuver around a roundabout. And the biggest tips is remembering to yield to traffic already in the roundabout. There is a yield sign when you enter, and then you're going to go counterclockwise, and you always want to signal when you exit. So those are the two things: to yield on entering, signaling on exiting, and that just gives the people entering the roundabout the information to know that you will be exiting, and then they're free then to enter the roundabout. But we've really seen over time, young and old, really are finding their way through the roundabouts. And if there are any crashes, they're very minor. Just a little fender bender, maybe a side swipe. Maybe just a little fender bender that can easily be mitigated.
Couple of other points. I know you're giving tips there. I want to get your feedback on this, because this is just my observation of going through roundabouts. One, don't stop in the middle of the roundabout, because I know a lot of Absolutely. Folks are trying to be polite and letting on those that are trying to join the roundabout through, but that causes a problem when you stop in the middle of the roundabout.
Right. In the roundabout, they should have continuous movement. You should not stop. You are correct that the person entering the roundabout has to yield. And also, as a reminder, the people entering the roundabout do also need to yield to pedestrians. So when I mentioned those pedestrians are in those splitter islands, the vehicle approaching the roundabout does need to yield to those pedestrians or bicyclists.
And it's almost answered in your statement, but the folks joining the roundabout, the folks within the roundabout have the right of way, right? Because I've been in a roundabout where those who are trying to join just continue on and join in the roundabout, and it almost causes an accident because I'm already going through that circle. I'm in the roundabout. So those within the roundabout, don't stop, and you have the right of way.
Right, and that's kind of being reinforced by the signage in the roundabout. We've kind of learned over time that we do have that yield sign when you enter. Usually there's a advanced warning sign telling you you're coming to a roundabout. And we also put some pavement markings down too. And we have these yield triangles that tell you to yield it and actually put the word in yield. So we've done about all we can to notify the motorists that they do need to yield when they enter the roundabout. And signage has evolved over time to really try to help make it as safe as possible.
And I think on any roadway, this is worth mentioning, trucks cannot stop on a dime, whether you're talking tractor trailers or larger trucks. So if they're in the roundabout, let them go. Don't try to beat that truck. I've seen people try to gun it as they were trying to approach this roundabout to try to get through before the big truck comes. And trucks can't stop that fast.
Right. Right, always. As we are seeing these more roundabouts, the trucks do need to maneuver. They do need to go up over that truck apron. So it will take them a little more time to maneuver around that roundabout and definitely give them the space they need to maneuver and allow them that safe distance to get through the roundabout.
Absolutely. Kelly Mara is the Public Works Director in Cranberry Township. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with us, whether it's about future projects with roundabouts or the importance of us having roundabouts in this county because of the safety data that you're finding?
Right, the safety data, that's always the foremost is the safety of the motoring public. And it's also the environmental effects too. Just protecting, the environment for the future and something that'll be a more long-term legacy that we can leave, for future generations as well.
Fabulous. Kelly, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate talking to you today.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. We're starting to get ready for snow down here in Cranberry Township.
Oh, goodness.
So, that'll be our next. We're finishing all the paving wraps up at the end of October here, and we are already looking to salt, and hopefully we have a mild winter and everybody stays safe.
You know what? I know this is going to be a whole different conversation for a whole different time, but since you brought that up, any salt concerns with supply and demand issues that we're going through right now?
No, actually, we were very pleasantly surprised. With everything we are going through right now with COVID and supply chain issues with everything from spark plugs to different lighting and everything, we were pleasantly surprised that salt doesn't seem to be impacted by that. And we've actually found this year the salt prices actually decreased. So in the past 10 years, we've been around $75, $78 a ton for salt. This year, our price went down in the 50s.
Wow. Wow.
So $52.55. So we are pleasantly surprised. It's going to save the municipalities like $50,000 to $100,000, which we could definitely use at this time with our budgets and everything that's been impacted by COVID. And it seems like there is no shortage right now. So we have our facility holds 6,500 tons. We are at 2/3 capacity, and we don't anticipate any problems, which after everything we're going through with COVID is a pleasant surprise.
Right,
we're very
absolutely.
Happy and hope for a safe winter.
Absolutely. Kelly, thank you again so much. Mm-hmm. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome.